Today is Dr. David Turcotte from the University of Massachusetts Lowell. He's been a principal investigator on several federal grants focusing on the environmental health and healthy home arena. And one of his major scientific interests is developing and implementing interventions in the homes of low-income children. And welcome, David. Looking forward to your presentation.
Thank you, Ruth. Good afternoon. As you can see, you know, this took a number of people to be involved in this project. One of them actually is here. I'd like to just recognize one of my colleagues, Dr. Heather Alder, who helped us out considerably with the project. And but as you can see, you know, it was a collaboration, which I'll get more into, involving several parties. And as was mentioned earlier, we don't have any disclosures, which is good. One thing I did want to disclose, though, is this project wouldn't have happened without funding from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and Peter Ashley from the Office of Healthy Housing is here, and we have two current grants with Peter's division within the Office of Healthy Homes and Lead Hazard Control, so thank you, Peter. We appreciate it. So why asthma and why Lowell? So this gives you a little bit of information. You know, Lowell, as you can see here, has higher asthma rates in the state as well as the nation. It's a very diverse community, which I'll talk more about. The housing stock is poor and old. More than 50% of it was built prior to 1940. And again, we had, you know, a key community health partner, the only federally funded health center, as well as other collaborators. From the standpoint of rates and you know, disparities, as you can see here, particularly within the Puerto Rican population, there's a, you know, big disparity with asthma rates. The Latino community in Lowell is the second largest minority immigrant community. Well, they're not technically immigrants, but minority community, and the vast majority in Lowell of Latinos are of Puerto Rican descent. And also within the area of hospitalization, particularly within the children's age 0 to 4, as you can see, there's big disparities there between what we're finding in Lowell versus the state. So part of our goal, you know, most of the goal was focused on the interventions in the home, which I'm going to talk more about. But in addition to that, we did a lot of education in the community around asthma and how to control asthma triggers and so forth. And we actually worked with a lot of daycare providers, with in-home daycare providers, and provided education to them, as well as we integrated into first-time home buyer education within the city also. These are all the partners involved in the project. Pretty much, unlike Boston and maybe other bigger cities, all of the partners who have anything to do with housing are represented here in this project, which was a key aspect to its success. So in order to, you know, who we enrolled, this kind of describes it. If they had to live in the city, they had to have at least one asthmatic child. Generally, they were low to moderate income. And total, you know, we enrolled 245 children. We averaged about 1.5 asthmatic children per family that we worked with. And I think people here know about asthma, but, you know, the key thing, obviously, is it affects millions, and there's no cure to it, but you can control it through medical treatment and management of environmental asthma triggers. These are, you know, common environmental asthma triggers that you could find in the home. Focusing on the home is very important because, you know, we do spend a lot of time in the home, children in particular, particularly in urban areas. Between video games and concerns of parents, where, you know, not having children outside playing because of safety concerns, children spend considerable time within the home. Again, these are some of the things like pet dander, mice, cockroaches, dust mites. Anyone see a dust mite before? Yeah. They're not very handsome, but, and you can't see them without a microscope, but they are a serious issue within the home. They can lead to the development of asthma in young children, but they definitely trigger asthma attacks. tobacco smoke, pollen, mold. So it's important to, you know, recognize these triggers and to mitigate them in order to improve asthma outcomes of asthmatic children. So from the standpoint of how we approached this, we went into the home, we did an assessment, we gathered health data. Most of what we used was the Children's Health Survey for asthma that was developed by the American Academy of Pediatrics, but we also added some additional questions. On top of that, we did a walkthrough assessment trying to identify any issues within the home. And we had a questionnaire with parents, which was mainly focused on trying to capture any behavioral factors that could be influencing the indoor environment. And then we also did dust sampling, trying to identify, the presence of dust mites, cockroaches, and mice. Based on the findings from the assessment, we would develop kind of a customized intervention plan with the family. We provided a lot of education around some of the key environmental triggers out there, particularly, healthy cleaning practices, issues with pest control. About 29% of the households reported problems with rodents, and 30% had problems with cockroaches, and some had both. So it was, a common environmental trigger that you find in urban areas, and at least in the Northeast, living in multifamily housing where predominantly all the families lived. And we also, looked at safety issues, which is a concern with children also. And as part of the intervention, we provided families with a lot of important supplies, vacuum cleaners with a HEPA filter that could remove smaller allergens from the environment, mattress and pillow encasers to protect the children, the asthmatic children, from the dust mites who like to get into mattresses and pillows. Trash can lids is important to prevent pests from accessing food and sustaining themselves. Food containers, as opposed to bags where, rodents can eat through. And trying to minimize the chemical influence within the environment, particularly in the cleaning area, we would provide a less toxic alternative, provide them with recipes. We provide them with things that could, address pest problems without the application of pesticides, or at least in a controlled way. And again, safety items like locks and so forth for cabinets for medicine and chemicals. We also did some other kinds of interventions related to remediation. In some cases, we removed carpets, installed exhaust ventilation in bathrooms, a lot of integrated pest management interventions because of the level of pest problems we encountered. And then in cases of severe pest infestation, we had industrial cleaning companies come in and do a thorough cleaning to remove all the residue from the pest. And then in addition to that, we wanted to kind of reinforce what we were doing, and so we would 6 months after we did our initial assessment, we went back in, we did kind of an abbreviated assessment related to health indicators that we focused on, which I'll talk about, as well as, again, environmental questionnaire, trying to capture any behavioral factors. We're hoping that the education at that point, the family was putting the education we recommended in practice, and so this was a way of kind of assessing that. And then again, provide more supplies if needed. We would always provide, less toxic cleaners, though it wasn't that expensive and it was easy to provide. And again, reinforce the education that was provided during the initial intervention stage. And then a year later, we went back and, did a final assessment. So basically, we gathered the same data we gathered at baseline on the initial assessment. And 1 year later, we decided to use a one-year final assessment period to basically kind of control for seasonal factors which could influence asthma, so that we gather the data in the same season. And again, we had the environmental questionnaire, the walkthrough, and we provided a $50 certificate to families as an incentive for allowing us to come back in a year later to do a final health outcome and environmental assessment. So from the standpoint of accomplishments, there was a total number of homes we assessed, the total number of interventions we've completed. we were able to evaluate the effectiveness of the interventions, not in all interventions, as I'll talk about. In addition to that, we wanted to, build some sustainability into what we were doing, so we provided training to the staff of our partners that we mentioned earlier, particularly the Housing Authority and the Coalition for a Better Acre and some of the Housing Inspectors for Community Teamwork and other programs where people were going into the home where this kind of knowledge would be important to help address and identify potential health issues of their clients. And through our broader education in the community, we provided it to over 1,500 members in the community. This is kind of some demographic information on the children that were enrolled. As you can see, the first column relates to the number of children that didn't complete the study. People didn't complete the study for several reasons. Sometimes it was the case where they moved into a different environment. Sometimes they moved out of the area. Sometimes we lost touch with them. Their phone numbers, their contact info wasn't current, so we weren't able to arrange a final assessment. As you can see, there's not a lot of significant changes between the children that completed. Certainly we had a higher percent of white Caucasians that completed from the study versus the ones who didn't. But as you can see here, the largest segment of the community we worked with were children of Hispanic origin. Again, that's particularly where most of them tend to be of Puerto Rican background. That was a key target area for us because of the disparities I mentioned earlier. Again, just some more comparative data here. As you can see, most of the children were in low-income households. And the mean age was around 6. So from the standpoint of impact and results, this gives you a sense of, these were some of our key asthma severity indicators that we focused on. So as you can see, we had significant reductions in wheezing and asthma attacks, doctor visits, particularly emergency room visits. We also had, on the baseline, there was a case of 8 hospitalizations, and then on the final, there was no hospitalizations. I guess I should mention one thing about the instrument. The Children's Health Survey for Asthma, basically, it's a self-reporting instrument that you ask the parents about the child. There's some various options. You can ask, the last 2 weeks, the last 4 weeks, and the last 8 weeks. We selected the last 4 weeks, so this is based on the previous 4 weeks of when the assessment was done. A four-week recall period. Within the Children's Health Survey for Asthma, there's a rating mechanism to score these 5 areas: physical health, activity level of the child, the family, emotional health of the child, and the family. The highest you can get is 100 rating. So as you can see, we also had significant improvements, particularly in the area of physical activity and emotional health of the child, in addition to the reduction in the key asthma severity indicators. We also saw reduction in the use of asthma medication, again reported during that prior 4-week period. So in the baseline, 88% were taking asthma medication. At final, you saw a reduction to 62%. Now, you may say, well, that may not be good because you want, asthmatic children obviously taking their medication, but the fact that we showed all these positive results on the key indicators indicates that, in many cases, their asthmatic conditions improved to the extent that it wasn't necessary for them to continue on the asthma medication. So we were, pleased to see that also. And from the standpoint of kind of cost savings, from the outcome, we gathered some data from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, what the average costs were, particularly for hospitalization in the Lowell area and for emergency department visits. So as you can see, average hospitalization cost then was almost $5,000. Emergency room was 834. We kind of assigned a $100 figure to the average doctor visit So this kind of shows you during the recall period, you know, what kind of decrease in costs, you know, we were able to quantify. Assuming this, you know, happens six times per year, then, you know, what the savings would be. Assuming that it happened monthly, you know, what the savings would be. So as you can see, you know, despite the reduction in the cost of the intervention, there was considerable net savings based on what we were able to quantify due to the health outcome improvements. So from the standpoint of, you know, conclusions regarding what we were able to do, you know, it was clear that there was a prevalence of several kinds of asthma, you know, environmental asthma triggers within the housing that the families we worked with. You know, the multi-trigger, multi-component intervention was successful in improving the health and emotional well-being of children. Again, we decreased the healthcare utilization and medication use. Certainly, this provides additional evidence for medical providers and insurers to fund these kind of interventions, as I think we know now that Medicare is going to start funding some of this stuff, supporting some of it next year with asthmatic children. So we're not the only study. There's been several others that have shown similar results. And again, the other key aspect was this, with the importance of the lay health outreach workers, our partnership with Lowell Community Health Center. We had two community health outreach workers. One was bilingual in Spanish and English from the Puerto Rican community. The other one was bilingual in Khmer in English. Khmer is spoken within the Cambodian community. Lowell has a very large Cambodian community. It's the second largest in the United States. So that was key, connecting with the families, building trust, being able to provide support and communicate. And again, the involvement of the various stakeholders that I showed you earlier. We had, you know, the only housing authority involved, the only community action agency involved, the only community development corporation in the city involved, the only first-time home buyer education program in the city. So we had the key entities that have anything to do with housing in the city involved in this project. And again, even though we were able to show that these, you know, multi-trigger, multi-intervention, multi-component interventions can produce these kind of positive health outcomes, what still isn't completely clear, and we weren't able to determine, and I know several others weren't completely, you know, what were the specific things we did? What were the most important things we did within the various interventions, and which ones have a bigger impact than others? That's not completely clear. Some have concluded that it's the lay health workers, you know, and having them involved is the critical aspect of the intervention. But obviously, you know, we gave them items. We did certain kinds of remediations and dealing with pest issues. So we weren't able to determine exactly which one of everything we did had the biggest impact. And others have concluded that, you know, additional intervention, you know, is research is still needed to kind of understand that a little better. So I forgot about the last part, the importance of maximizing the return on the investment. So that's what is really important, is what aspects of the intervention will maximize that return on investment the most. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.